Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder affects just over 8% of school-aged children in the U.S. If you have ADHD, you already know what that means. It makes you restless. It makes it hard to focus. It makes it hard to stay focused, hard to pay attention, and hard to control your behavior, even if you want to. In 2010, we brought you a whole show focused on ADHD and its effects. We spoke with four San Francisco teenagers living with ADHD about how they manage from day to day. Today, we're going to listen back to what they had to say and then hear how they're doing now. When we first spoke with them 3 years ago, these teens were part of a group called Safe Voices. It's a project of the Parents Education Network, which advocates for students with learning differences. At the time, they were mentoring other young people with ADHD and thinking a lot about their own ways of coping.
My name is Jaden Peterson Ray, and I'm 17 years old.
My name is Tim Blair, and I'm 19.
My name is Sam Van Cleve, and I'm 16.
I'm Ted Milkey, and I'm 16 years old.
Well, I was technically diagnosed for the first time this year, but we've known I've had it for a couple of years.
I think I was diagnosed in kindergarten.
Diagnosed, I think, around 6 years old.
I was diagnosed in third grade. According to my mother, she knew there was always something special about me. But in third grade, it was taking me 5 hours to finish my homework. And somebody established that there was something wrong with that picture. So they took me to go get tested, and what do you know? I have ADHD.
It was frustrating when anything was boring, which was, you know, a lot of school. You know, it was frustrating socially because, you know, I was incredibly impulsive. Every conceivable social cue. I mean, just I missed all of that, and it was, you know, really a mechanical process to relearn all of that when everyone else had kind of learned it in kindergarten, first grade.
I thought it was just like a bunch of little quirky things that I did. Like, I couldn't remember my homework, I couldn't remember my backpack, I couldn't remember my computer. I know last year it became really prominent. I would take walks during classes. I'd like get up and go outside and walk around the school, come back, sit down, and be able to focus a little better. I think that was the most apparent thing that went on at school, at least. I mean, I fidget. I am fidgeting right now. Like, I wear rings, I play with my rings, or I shake my foot and tap my foot or tap my fingers, drum on random things. So I'm constantly, like, moving, but that hasn't... I lost my train of thought completely.
My parents just wanted me to succeed in life. So they tried putting me in all these different schools. I've been through 6 schools altogether in my whole life, public and private. And so it's been tough.
I feel like I notice a lot of things that other people don't notice, and it grabs my attention. I'll look over there, and mid sentence, I'll forget what I'm saying.
You know, when it came to frog and toad in class, that was a no-go. Too boring, and I couldn't focus, or so it was really tough to learn to read on all the kiddie books because it was just boring.
I know it definitely caused a lot of trouble in school. I was never very interested in the process, and I think that that affected how I did in school.
School's not easy for kids with ADHD because you can't really sit still in class, especially when you have to listen to somebody teach. It gets kind of boring for me.
You just heard the voices of teenagers from Safe Voices, student mentors who work with peers living with ADHD and other learning differences.
My prescription got filled today for Ritalin. I haven't taken it yet. But I've actually taken a short-acting Ritalin, and that's really helped for doing my homework. And so we have a long-acting one. I'm going to take it for the first time tomorrow. We'll see how that goes at school and everything. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
Well, I just graduated high school a few months ago. Right now I'm taking a gap year. This is kind of, I think, a time for me to explore what I'm really passionate about. Right now I kind of see that in nonprofit work. Because I think all people... it's good to find something you're passionate about to become intrinsically motivated rather than, you know, carrot and whip, you know, paid or fired. But for me, being ADHD, it's necessary. That's the way I can focus. That's really the only way I found to succeed. So this is a year for really me to explore my passions.
I don't feel that right now I'm in the place for me to handle in terms of handling my ADHD. I think that I'm gonna have to continue taking it day by day and try out different things, see which methods of focusing work, which methods of getting my work done are successful and which aren't, how to take tests and how not to take tests, and I just gotta keep taking it day by day.
When I first took Ritalin, short acting, it didn't really seem like it was helping. I was talking really fast. I was talking about this. Oh, and then talking about that. And it kind of seemed to heighten it. But the second time I took it, it took my energy, and instead of letting it go everywhere, it kind of put it in one place, kind of focused it a little bit.
I've also found that being off medication, a lot of my natural curiosity that I used to have as a little kid, a lot of that is coming back. The world's more interesting. I want to know more. I see some that doesn't make sense. I got to make sense of it. And like I was talking about with my dad, is that's something I think I can count on to carry me through college, is to really want to figure, to just know more, figure out more, just counting on that curiosity.
You can express anything you want if you have a learning disability. I mean, there's people out there that think they have a learning disability, but they really don't. I mean, to us, the community that has a learning disability, we take it as a gift, not a setback.
As long as I keep taking it day by day and keep remembering that there's more after this, well, I think I can do all right.
You just heard from Jaden Peterson-Ray, Tim Blair, Sam Van Cleve, and Ted Mulkey, who worked with Safe Voices, a mentoring and advocacy group for young people with ADHD and other learning differences. Jaden, Tim, Sam, and Ted talked with us 3 years ago. We wanted to find out how things had gone since then, so we invited them to come into our studios. Sam and Tim were able to stop by. Sam is 18 now. She took a gap year after graduating from high school, and she'll be attending Oberlin College in Ohio this fall. Tim is 21. He also took a gap year after high school, and he's now enrolled in community college in Berkeley. They sat down with KALW's Ben Trefney, who asked them for their thoughts about hearing their voices when they were still in or just graduated from high school.
I don't entirely disagree with anything that I said back then, though I would like the chance to clarify some of what I said because it wasn't the most clear I've ever been.
Go ahead.
At the very end, I think I said something along the lines of, as long as I take it day by day, and know that there's more after this, it'll be fine. I wanted to clarify first that after this, I wasn't referring directly to my medication at that point. It was more day by day in terms of how I deal with my learning disabilities, how I deal with my medication, how I face the world around me, and then know that there's more to life after the educational system, after once I get out of education, because I personally, at least, have always been told that, you know, in the academic institution, that might not be your time to shine, but you will get that chance afterwards. And I knew that then when I spoke as a sophomore in high school the little bit of experience that I had outside of school. But I know that even more so now, coming back from a gap year where I worked on a presidential campaign, and in that campaign office, the aspects, or as people call them, symptoms of my ADHD, the ones that made school the most challenging, were my biggest, biggest assets working in a campaign office. And it was incredible.
What were some of the things that you found to be assets for yourself?
So in class, I'm sitting in class, you know, the teacher's talking and you're supposed to be just focusing and just have all your focus on the teacher talking. But that's not enough to engage my brain fully. And so I get distracted by the birds outside or the kids I hear in the playground or what so-and-so is doing behind me. But in a campaign office, what that means is when I'm working at that front desk, there can be three different staff members that want six different things from me in the next half hour. Meanwhile, 17 different volunteers come in and they're all waiting to get trained, and I can be training them while dealing with the toner that's missing from the printer in the midst of also getting the things done from those staff members that want them done in the next half hour. And all that going on, as overwhelming as it sounds, is something that my brain can handle. It's something that, because of my ADHD and my ability to focus on so many different things all at once, I guess that would be described by multitasking. It became an asset.
So for you, you think that ADHD has helped you be able to multitask better in the world outside of academia?
Yeah, it helps me do a whole lot of different things all at once and get things done. And because that environment was more focused on kind of short-term output, like get this done, get this done, get this done, get this done, as opposed to, you know, write this research paper over a month. There was a whole
long-term project.
It was a complete different set of standards and set of expectations where what had previously been a disadvantage became an advantage, became a benefit.
So, Tim, have you found the same thing after school? It's been a while now since you were in high school and you're in college now. But tell me about your experiences out in the, you know, what some people call the real world after after high school.
Well, my experience in the real world has been about a year of nonprofit work during my gap year with a mentoring organization with Parents Education Network here in the city, doing a lot of, you know, very, I would say, tasks I'm very much not qualified for and was able to learn very, very quickly like that. And, you know, having that flexibility, Sam described with ADHD, and whether, you know, it's in that, you know, office setting or whether it's in as a cook in a restaurant or working in a national park with a 15-person line on the resort.
These are all things that you've done.
These are all things that I've been doing the past few years. Or just in, you know, college when the ratio changes. It's not three-quarters of your time in the classroom than a quarter doing homework. You flip that. You spend a quarter of your time in the classroom and three-quarters doing homework. And it's really becomes a lot more about you and not about your setting.
Where you're able to control your scheduling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And adapt as accordingly. I think of attention as water. In a high school classroom, it's like an aqueduct, and that water is moving forward at a steady pace. You've got a steady amount of stimulation, and you just got to deal with it. But, you know, if I'm bored, my water wants to go elsewhere. But if I'm interested, it's like a fire hose, and that's hyper-focus. We talk about that a lot in with ADHD and, you know, medical model or any model you describe. When we're interested, you got to wave your hand in front of our faces to make us snap out of it. And, you know, in the campaign office, Sam is sending her attention all over the place. She's fully stimulated, and it's going everywhere, and it's a really, really great gift when we find our element.
That's Tim Blair, and we're speaking with him and Sam Van Cleve, who are both young adults who have ADHD. So do you think that says, Tim, that the way that your schools, as you were growing up, weren't really designed to accommodate your ADHD? Sam, go ahead.
I just wanted to add in before I mention that, is that in addition to, you know, the focusing and the being able to spread my attention in the campaign office, that's only one of several examples I could give, in that I want to emphasize ADHD, learning disabilities, whatever aspects of those or symptoms of those that appears a disadvantage in the classroom. Once a child gets out of that classroom and changes the environment, as Tim was talking about, it's a completely different ballgame.
Right.
Completely different ballgame. And so I do believe that in the educational system, that environment is structured to a specific type of learner. And it's very difficult, very challenging, for some even impossible, to succeed in that environment when it's not at all structured to the way that you work, your brain works, the way that you learn. And it's very difficult to succeed. But it requires also a certain amount of flexibility and a certain amount of support that some kids get and some kids don't get.
Well, did you two get that when you were in, say, high school, middle school? Did you get learning assistance from, you know, special needs teachers or programs?
Yeah. I mean, we're required to get that by the state. And I felt like, you know, I was pretty lucky with a lot of the schools I went to. Gateway High School right here in the city was really, really spectacular about that. And it really dispels a lot of the myths that the public schools can't do it, because they did it very, very well. But the trouble with that is that it's, you're adapting a system that's already broken for us. So you're just chipping off parts of the square to try and get it into the round hole rather than not getting it there in the first place. And we can do better than that. And I think none of us are really truly the right size peg. And we all benefit from personalization.
Now that was a good analogy. I like that analogy.
You're not as into the water one?
No, it didn't really work for me.
Okay, well, that's all right. So I think the analogies can, you know, work for some and not for others, right? It's personalized. Yeah. So for you, then, did you find that as you were growing up and going through an education system that it worked for you, or they made accommodations that helped you, or have you found that that was just something that was extraordinarily frustrating?
Yes and no. I had parents that really fought for me when I was younger and fought to get me what I needed. And in that sense, I really did get the support that I needed from them. Though I have found, and this is completely my own decisions, you know, to stay in certain environments that are very much round pegs when I'm square pegs, square holes,
whatever
round
peg you aren't.
Yeah, the hole of the shape of the peg. I have very much, it's based on my own decisions and my own choices, been in environments that are ill-suited to the way that I learn. And in those environments, it has been a struggle because they have very rigid curriculum structures, or they have certain goals in mind that can't always be altered to the way that I learn, in spite of or in addition to whatever accommodations they can give me. It's really not enough. That's one of the reasons I did transfer my senior year, just to see a different kind of environment, yet another one, to see if it could be more suited to the way that I learned. And I found that it was. And that was actually really encouraging heading into my gap year, so that I didn't end my high school career on a bad note. Or
where did you end up going to high school? Where did you graduate from?
Bentley High School in Lafayette, California.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of school? Is that a different school for more personalized?
It's not particularly different. It's just the structure of the curriculum was not as rigid as I felt the previous structure was, and it was, the teachers were of a different breed. They were just a different kind of, the school attracted a different kind of teacher that I meshed with better, and it worked a lot better for me.
Was that a public school or a private school?
No, it was a private school. Mm-hmm. Actually, I got there because one of the faculty advisors of Safe Voices is the head of school there, and he said, hey, come check it out. Mm-hmm. And so I did. But that was a really positive note heading in there, heading off into my gap year from Bentley.
If you could talk back to yourself 2.5 years ago, what would you say to that person who was just coming out of high school or just about to finish up high school, Tim?
It will never be harder than high school again, and your world becomes more and more of your own with every year you get older and with every step you take further along your own, you know, path to success or whatever, however you may define that.
How about you, Sam?
You will survive. You will make it through. And you will get to somewhere better.